You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
The upper concourse of St Pancras International Station. Newness is all around. Built as the terminus for the Midland Railway, St Pancras was one of the greatest stations in the country, earning the name the Cathedral of the Railways. The finest engineer of the day, William Henry Barlow, designed its grand train shed roof, the Barlow Shed, which was once the largest single-span railway structure in the world. But as with all good things, it grew old and started to decay. It's that same roof we are standing under now, but this grand Victorian station has been reinvented for 21st century use. Once black with soot from years of steam and diesel use, the roof of the Barlow Shed is newly refurbished, leaky glazing all fixed now. Ooh, it's nearly time for the train to pull in. Time to check the time on the station clock. My gaze is drawn upwards to a giant white-faced clock which hangs high under the roof, gold-leaf Roman numerals inside black slate diamond shapes and long golden hands. The clock oversees all that goes on in St Pancras, people arriving and leaving, hurrying. Everyone is checking the clock, checking that they're not late. And there, right on the dial, is the maker's name. Dent & Co, famous Victorian clockmaker. The clock looks old, and at least that's original, except that it's not. The original clock is 130 miles away, up in Nottinghamshire. It once adorned the end of a barn. You are about to hear the story of how it got to be there, and the clock that we have today.
Hi, I'm Josie Murray. I work for High Speed One and I'm their senior heritage advisor, and that means I'm responsible for looking after this fantastic Grade One listed building.
Josie, what can you tell me about that, about the original station clock, the Dent station clock?
The clock actually has it's got quite an interesting story around it, and I think what we need to do is sort of start off back at the beginning when the station opened. So it opened up, and I'm just going to show you a picture of the station when it opened in 1868, 1st of October. You'll notice that at the south end, one, there's no clock on the gable end, but also there's no hotel behind it.
So no clock right at the beginning then?
No. That's correct, no clock right at the beginning. We know that there was a tender for the clock in 1869. The second image, I'm just showing another photograph, which is from 1876. So it's obviously when the main hotel opened. And you can see the clock in situ. The clock is exactly the same place as it is today. But I think what's useful to reflect on is the significance of the clock here, and also on our clock tower outside on the hotel with the four faces, because the railways themselves transformed the keeping of time in this country.
Believe it or not, clocks had a role in uniting the country. Long before standardised time in the UK that we have now, different areas had their own local time, and that caused real problems with railway connections and timetable. Luckily, in 1880, good old Greenwich Mean Time was legally adopted and saved the day, and people didn't miss their trains. After this, clock towers sprung up all over the country. Telling people the time had shifted from the town's municipal clock to a standard time.
It's 16 foot 9 inches in diameter, or just over 5 metres, 5.15 metres. If we're sort of looking up at it here, you can see it's there's a decorative outer ring with sort of gold leaf on a Midland red background, which is sort of 450 millimetres wide. And then the chapter ring is the bit that has the numbers on it, and that in itself is just under a metre wide. So it's quite deceptive when you sit here. You don't really appreciate quite how big it is.
So the clock went on ticking and telling through two wars, nationalisation, into the 1960s and 70s until somebody decided that perhaps with the King's Cross station just next door, that St Pancras was no longer a viable investment. It had to go. Thanks to opposition, spearheaded by poet John Betjeman, the station won a reprieve.
So obviously while those plans were thwarted to demolish St Pancras, it didn't mean that any investment followed, so it still continued to decline. You could almost sort of say that the British Rail, you know, as the National Rail Society, were undertaking a little bit of asset stripping in terms of this fantastic building, because what they decided to do was to sell the original clock.
I've heard that there were plans to sell the clock in the 70s.
Yes, it was, you're quite right. It's in the early 70s. Now, the story is that there was an American buyer, and I believe that there was. I have no idea who that buyer was, or also how much was to be paid.
So what happened to the clock? Did the businessman buy it? Was he take it away?
Again, another twist in the tale of our clock. No, sadly, it didn't quite happen the way it was intended. While the clock was being removed, and as you know, we said it was stone, slate, so incredibly heavy, just as they were getting it near to the floor, having lowered it, it dropped and smashed into
the floor. Oh, no!
So, naturally, the buyer said goodbye, and British Rail were left with a pile of broken clock fragments. And this is when where it becomes one of those twists of fate, is a railway worker who was based here, Roland Hoggard, was obviously a keen railway person, but also loved clocks. So he offered to buy the bits for £25, and he was, as long as he cleared it away, and he, over the course of time, he basically collected up all the parts, and then took them away on a train over the course of a week, I believe, up to his home in the garden, where he then spent the next 2 years reassembling the clock on the end of his one of his barns.
Okay, bit of background. Roland's father was a signalman during World War One, and his dear mother used to push his pram to the signal box to wave to his father. At 14, he started as a railway messenger boy and ended up working as a guard. We managed to trace Ian and Pam Thompson, who had known Roland. They were his neighbours at Priory Farm in a small village near Nottingham. This is what they had to say about him and the clock.
Roland Hoggard was an eccentric character of Thurcan Village. He was known as Dr. Clock. And his four loves in life were railways, clocks, church bells and Methodism. A guard on the London Midland Line, but he also enjoyed trips to see his cousin in Scotland, and he used to use his rail employee pass to go up to Scotland, and he would always take his bike with him. He went everywhere by bicycle. He lived in Priory Farm, which has lots of outbuildings, which he used for repairing and renovating clocks. He also had a big barn with a huge gable end. And then you probably obviously know the story about St Pancras. One day at St Pancras station, workmen were dismantling the clock, which an American businessman had bought. When it began to fall apart, some of the tiles were smashed on the station concourse. And the American, therefore, pulled out of the purchase. Roland grasped the opportunity to gather up the pieces and the workings, which he transported over time in his guard's van to Thurgarton Station. From there, he carried the pieces to Priory Farm, where he built a gantry under the gable end of the barn. He then carefully rebuilt the clock, attaching the tiles and the pointers to the wall. The tiles were white with gold design around the rim, and the pointers were gold, and the numbers were black diamonds with gold surround. When Roland finished his handiwork, the St Pancras clock looked like new, and people have come from far and wide to see it.
Within his house and his workshop at one time, he had about 10 clocks that were all synchronised timing. The National Trust have what up in near us, not far from us, is Mr. Straw's house, where it was out of date completely. And really, that's how Roland lived. He never, ever lived up to the date. He was always lived in the 60s. He had to be seen to be believed. He would always look smart for church, wouldn't he, and so on. You know, he'd put a suit on and everything. But he had a straw hat and it would all be dropping to bits and so on. You should probably see it on the thing there, but he didn't mind. It didn't matter to him.
When Roland died in 2013, at the age of 93, it was uncertain whether the clock would survive. His farm and the barn were sold. And a bit like Roland, we pieced together some more of the story. Roland had asked that parts of the clock be kept, so he bequeathed it to the British Horological Institute Museum at Upton Hall, Nottingham. Their former curator, Viscount Alan Middleton, talks about it and the famous clock hands which are now in the museum.
My name is Alan Middleton. I was the curator at the British Horological Institute. I heard that Roland Hoggard had died. We were then contacted by the fellow solicitors dealing with his estate, and subsequently we acquired this this mechanism and the hands for the clock. They were in very poor condition when we got them. They were perfectly whole, but they were very dirty. So what we did was gold leaf them, because that's how they would have been originally, and so they now stand out looking very grand, and we put them well out of reach of people because gold leaf is quite delicate, so you can certainly see that, and you can see the mechanism, although that will, as I understand it, very shortly be going off to be restored.
The clock ticks on, but what you see now is a reconstruction of the original Dent clock, created using Roland's clock as a template. Well, next year sees the 150th anniversary of the station. There are lots of projects planned, and amongst them, one to find out a little bit more about that mystery buyer of the clock all those years ago. Time, as they say, will tell. You have been listening to Making a Dent, the story of the St Pancras Station clock.
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org